Ever since the people of God had been the people of God, they had lived this way. For 6 days, they could labor and do their work, planting crops or harvesting crops, each in due season, shearing sheep and spinning wool, each in due season, sewing bridal veils or forging swords for war, each in due season. For 6 days, the people of God could labor and do their work, whatever that might be. But on the seventh day, all labor had to stop. On the seventh day, they could do no work. Whether that was urgent or mundane made no difference. Planting had to be left off for a day. Harvesting had to be left off for a day. Shearing sheep and spinning wool and sewing bridal veils and forging swords for war had to be left off. Out of every 7 days, one day was set aside in its entirety when there could be no work, no matter what. It was called the Sabbath day. Ever since the people of God had been the people of God, they had done this. They had lived this way. The command to rest on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, it had no ending, this command. It bore no exceptions. It had no expiration date, even when it seemed that work would be needed just to survive, the people still had to keep the Sabbath. There was a time when the people of God were wandering through a desert, just months removed from slavery in Egypt, with no supplies and no idea where they were going, no idea if the armies of Pharaoh were about to catch up to them. For 6 days. For 6 days they could work to fashion tents or put miles behind them or protect themselves from the elements. For 6 days they could work to fashion spears to protect themselves from wolves or post guards to try to protect themselves from bandits. But on the seventh day, they rested. They kept Sabbath in the wilderness. The people of God rested in aimlessness, drawing close to God. There was a time when the people of God had settled in a broad and good land. They had settled and planted crops and vineyards and olive groves. They were doing the joyful but daunting work of putting down roots, of building a home for themselves and for their children. For 6 days, the people of God could work with plow and axe and sweat and ingenuity to build a home for themselves, but on the seventh day, they rested. They kept Sabbath in the land of Israel. The people of God rested in unfinished work. And they drew close to God. There was even a time after the people of God had settled in their home, after they had done their work of building a home, when a great army came and destroyed everything they had worked for. This enemy was called Babylon. The people had built a temple for God. Babylon destroyed it. The people had built cities to live in. Babylon destroyed them too. The people had made the desert bloom. They made it a garden. Babylon made it a desolation again. A haunt of jackals. For 6 days, the people of God could wail with grief and weep with anger and worry themselves to exhaustion over what they would do now. on the seventh day, they rested. They remembered God. They kept Sabbath when all seemed lost. The people of God rested in Babylon and drew close to God. 6 days of work and one of rest. 6 days of work and one of rest. 6 days of work and one of rest. Always, without exception, for all time and all seasons and all places, forever. The Sabbath has never stopped being celebrated. And as long as the people of God are the people of God, until time's twilight and world's end, the Sabbath can never stop being celebrated. The people of God must rest. We have to rest. I have to rest. You have to rest if you are to be among the people of God. If you are to be among the people of God, you have to rest. The Sabbath is part of what makes the people of God who we are. It's a part of how we remember to whom we belong. And it is easy to forget. It is easy to forget to whom we belong. The Sabbath is not an imposition that makes hard times worse. The Sabbath is a sustaining taste of heaven here on earth, because the Sabbath is not like any other time. It is not like time in any other sense. It is not like a day in any other sense at all. It is not allowed to prepare for the future or to try to repair the past. It is not allowed. And so the future and the past, they have no reality. They have no reality on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath, the people of God are to enjoy what is. We are to enjoy what is and leave off worrying about what might be or regretting what might have been. Sabbath is a festival of the present moment, a festival of the presence of God here and now, a festival of the goodness and sufficiency of what is. The Sabbath, too, is a state of spirit, a state of standing before God, unlike any other. It is a day when it is quite possible to live up to the fullness of God's moral commands. It is possible for anyone to fulfill the entirety of God's law on the Sabbath day. It is possible to be morally righteous, truly righteous in God's sight, without blame for anyone. Because all that a person is required to do is rest. All that a person is allowed to do is rest. And if a person rests on the Sabbath, then they are morally blameless in God's sight for how they have passed that day. So perhaps you feel that you have work to do before God could ever truly love you. Perhaps you feel there are things about yourself that you need to change before God could ever approve of you. Perhaps. Perhaps there is much important work to do, but not on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, it is holy and righteous to simply be beloved of God. On the Sabbath, it is righteous to simply be, oh, beloved of God. The Sabbath has never stopped being celebrated. And as long as the people of God are the people of God, until time's twilight and world's end, the Sabbath will never stop being celebrated, because it is so sweet to do so. And so, O people of God, remember that the Sabbath is a part of what makes you who you are. The Sabbath is a part of how you remember to whom you truly belong. So it is for you to celebrate the Sabbath. Your life will be better for it. I'll even make you a deal. You won't find a deal like this anywhere. You can celebrate the Sabbath whenever you please. It is not about an imposition of rules. It is not a burden. The Sabbath is a gift. You don't need to celebrate Sabbath on any particular day. You don't even need to celebrate Sabbath for an entire day at a time. It is a gift that you can celebrate at any time that you wish for as long as you are able. Sabbath may be a precious half a morning. It may be a precious half morning where you simply spend a beautiful sunrise walking through Boston Common, meeting the unblinking gaze of the day and knowing that come what may, the sun shall surely set without your having to lift a finger, and that the world's weight is not yours to bear. Sabbath may be a half hour spent sitting on a train. A half hour spent sitting on a train with silence in your spirit amidst the world's shouting, with stillness in your spirit amidst the world's whirling, at rest, knowing that for every moment you rest, that you are doing exactly as God would have you do, that you are living just as God desires. No more, no less. Perhaps you are wandering. Perhaps you are wandering in the desert of unknowing, having departed forever from a way of living life that used to make sense, but no longer. Perhaps you are settled and building a home, scratching and clawing to make a place your own, but you are bone tired and there is no end in sight. Perhaps everything you ever built has come tumbling down around you, and you do not know what to do but weep beside the rivers of Babylon, your destroyer. If you need God's guidance and you do not know the right thing to do, take Sabbath. Take rest. Taking Sabbath will always be a part of God's plan for your life. In every season of life, you will always be right to take Sabbath. So if every other part of your life is chaos, Sabbath can be your heart's home with God. Sabbath can be a taste of heaven here on earth, a glimpse of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, a time, a moment stolen away, when the words of the psalm can grow within you, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. So whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and gaze on God's temple. For God will hide me and shelter me on the day of evil. Even if my father and mother should forsake me, the Lord would gather me in. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May it be so for you.